Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Jesus talked about several different people who said, I want to follow you, but I got to do this first. Some of us say, I want to follow Jesus, but my life's pretty messed up. I need to quit drugs. I got to stop living for sex. I need to just get my life straightened out. Then I'm going to go to Jesus. That's like taking a shower before you take a bath.
Have you ever heard of the manana syndrome? It is simply procrastinating, putting off until tomorrow what really should be done today. This syndrome can certainly affect not only daily tasks, but our spiritual lives as well. We say, I'll read my Bible tomorrow. I've spent some time praying for that person or this person. I'll pray more tomorrow. Or maybe your life is just a mess right now and you don't even know where to start. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and tomorrow is never a guarantee. Jesus will take you as you are right now. Come to Him today. With more out of Mark 1, 16 through 20, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Your home may be doing great, your marriage awesome, your children cooking along and doing fine. There may be no great crisis in your life right now. And you may be thinking, nah, God's not calling me today, but I want to remind you, these guys weren't at the bottom. These guys, in essence, were at the top. They had a successful business taking place there in the Galilee. We learn a little bit later on that their partners, James and John and Andrew and Peter, were all partners together. Jesus he's on a search. He's looking for men and women who will commit themselves to Him. Just as He was walking up and down the Sea of Galilee, knew because of His foreknowledge that He would call them, God, in a way, is searching in this place today. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro back across the face of the whole earth, that He can show Himself strong to those whose hearts are loyal towards Him. God wants to show Himself strong to you today as well. Now, verse 17, then Jesus said to them, follow Me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Now, there's two parts to the call that Jesus gives them. He stops and He looks at these guys as they're casting their nets out, and He says, follow Me. Now, we'll talk more about that in a moment. We want to talk about following Jesus in their response. So let's just put that on the shelf for a moment. Let's go to the second part of His call. Follow Me, and I will make you become fishers of men. See, it's God's business to make us into whom God wants us to be. They weren't fishers of men. They weren't where they needed to be. Sometimes we feel like, well, God's calling me, and I can't preach, I can't speak, I can't witness, I can't do anything. Well, welcome to the club. But God has a way of working in our lives to make us into the men and women that God wants us to be. That's why I read passages like Philippians chapter 1, the God who has begun a good work in you is going to complete it. And it is God that works in us for His good pleasure. The Bible says that His word works inside of us. When you come to God and you surrender your life to Him, God begins to work in you. It is unseen. He begins to develop you. He begins to take you through experiences. He begins to take His word and minister to your heart. He takes you through experiences and uses your experiences in your past life to bring you to the place where God is going to use you. And in the general call, we all have the responsibility of being fishers of men, don't we? We all are called to the gospel of Jesus Christ to see people around us come into that relationship of God, but each of them had a very specific role. In general, they were all going to be fishers of men, but when we look at these four men, they have radically different ministries. We'll start with Peter since he's the most well-known. Peter became the leader of the church that was in Jerusalem. Peter, during the ministry of Jesus, had foot and mouth disease. He was always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. In fact, there's one time where he says the right thing at the right time, and it's like a shocker to us. We read it, we go, whoa, Peter! And then right after that, he blows it. So he does it really good, and then a few seconds later, he's blowing it again. And we relate to Peter, because we too have foot and mouth disease, because we too don't do everything perfectly, because we too have moments of spirituality where, wow, I got it, and then, wow, I blew it in the very next step. Peter would eventually go from Jerusalem to Rome. He would minister to the Jewish Christians, the Gentile Christians in Rome, and he would eventually be killed for Christ's sake, crucified upside down when he was older. John, and you remember that when Jesus told Peter that he was going to be bound and taken places he didn't want to go, he turned around to John and said, what about him? And Jesus said, what is that to you? You follow me. Stop worrying about everybody else's life. Get your nose out of other people's business and worry about yourself and what God has for you. But John was the youngest of the disciples, and he would live longer than in all the rest of them. But John would have some tough last days. He would be arrested. He would be boiled in oil. He would survive that. He would then be exiled to the island of Patmos. But he would be used by God to write the book of John. He would be used by God to write the book of Revelation, which, by the way, is the original book of apocryphal detail. It's funny, you know, Nostradamus wrote about destruction and wars and earthquakes and meteors. And I wonder where he got that stuff from. I think the Bible was around a long time before Nostradamus, but nevertheless. And then there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then he would go to Ephesus, and he would become an elder, a pastor at Ephesus. John was an old man who wandered around the streets of Ephesus and ministered to the people who were there. Very powerful. Andrew, we don't know a lot about him other than every time we see him, he brings somebody to Christ. He was an evangelist. And God used him to bring people to Christ. And James would be the first of the disciples to be martyred. John, his brother, would live longer than any of them. James would be the first of those 12 to die, only a year or two after Jesus himself was crucified. And as Jesus stops and calls these guys, he doesn't say, listen, I need to sit down and talk with you about everything you're being called to. He didn't do that. Instead, he called them to follow. He didn't tell them what kind of things he was going to do in their lives, and he didn't tell them what they were going to suffer. God doesn't clue us in on everything he has for us or what we might suffer for him. Instead, we surrender ourselves and say, however you want to use me, I'm there. And whatever suffering you may want to use in my life, I'm there. If I serve you by dying and people are brought to you, then so be it. If I serve you by living, then so be it. I am surrendered. He gave no promises to them when he called them. He simply said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He calls us, and we have in front of us the great unknown. We go through this life. We know one day we will stand in the very presence of Jesus. But I want my life consumed for him, whether short, whether long. In verse 18, it says, then immediately they left their nets and they followed him. The call of God is immediate. The call of God is now. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose life and live. It doesn't mean that you go, well, you know what? Someday I think I will become a Christian. Someday I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Someday I'm going to stop living for myself and for my own desires and for my own life. Someday I'm going to follow him. If you are a someday kind of a person, someday I'm going to quit smoking. Someday I'm going to go on a diet. Someday I'm going to quit drinking. You know what happens? Someday never comes. You need to say, today I'm going to change, and today I'm going to live for him. Jesus talked about several different people who said, I want to follow you, but I got to do this first. Some of us say, I want to follow Jesus, but my life's pretty messed up. I need to quit drugs. I got to stop living for sex. I need to just get my life straightened out. Then I'm going to go to Jesus. That's like taking a shower before you take a bath. I'd like to take a bath, but I'm going to take a shower first. I don't know if you know this, but both of them will get you clean. You don't need to double up on that. You might be really dirty, I understand. But hey, both will get you clean. That's the purpose. So you come to him for him. He'll take you as you are. He'll take your addictions. He'll take your struggles. He'll take your hardships. That's why he came. He came not being afraid to get close to those who have problems and struggles and difficulties. You say, but I'm not a typical Christian. I got problems. God knows every problem you've got. You're exactly the person Jesus came for. If you don't believe that, study the disciples sometimes. If you don't believe that, study the Old Testament heroes. Abraham and Moses and David, they had their share of problems, and yet God called them and God used them. And so immediately they left their nets and they followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending nets. Now Peter and Andrew were casting nets. These two brothers are mending their nets. A little bit of time has passed, probably out early in the morning as they're fishing. And James and John look up, and there's Jesus. And there's Peter and Andrew, fish scales still on them from fishing. They left their boat and they left their net and they walked away. They didn't go, let me fold up my net first. You ever worked with a net, guys? You don't just want to leave it out, right? Especially if you're fishing. Hooks get stuck in the net. And the next thing you know, you got needle-nose pliers and you're pulling on it and trying to get that out of there. Those nets were worse. Those nets were expensive. They left them. They left their boat. And they're standing there, and here's James and John, and they look up. It's Jesus, and it's Andrew and Peter. And Jesus says, follow me. Now, they're also with their father. Zebedee is there. And so what does it say? The next verse, verse 20, and immediately. Again, notice the immediate. Immediately, he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired servants, and they went after him. When God calls us, we are called to two things, to leave and to follow. There are things in our lives that we have to leave. We often think of the sinful things in our lives that we have to leave. For some of you guys, you've lived for those sinful things, and that might be hard for you, but there's just things that you leave. There's always a cost. Your life is going to be different if you are going to be a Christian. So you leave it. You say, I'm now going to leave those things behind. I'm going to live for him. Also, relationships change. Some of you guys, when you gave your life to Christ, your husband or wife, they didn't bank on that. They didn't marry a Christian. When you gave your life to Jesus, then they felt betrayed in a way. Because in a sense, in a way, maybe even in a reality, you left them behind. And all of a sudden that changed. Sometimes relationships change with our parents. My mom had taken me to church my whole life, but the church that I went to had said that if you go to church, you're saved. That was the teaching of the church. As long as you are part of this church, you are saved. It's the kind of idea that you show great wisdom and insight for being a part of this church. Therefore, you must be saved because of your great insight and wisdom. When I was a teenager, I got saved. I found out you've got to do personal business with Jesus. And I asked Christ into my life, and I began to run around and tell everybody that they needed to give their life to Jesus. And I went home and I sat my mom down at the kitchen table. I said, Mom, you got to get saved or you're going to go to hell. My mom was angry. See the red in her face. She finally said to me, I'm the one that took you to that church. It was my idea. And now you're telling me that I need to be saved? And there was tension in the relationship between me and my mother. Until a few years later when she went to church with me at the church that God had called me to. And at the end of that study, there was an altar call that was given. My mom raised her hand. And for the first time since she was a young girl, she reevaluated her commitment. As a young woman, she had committed her life to Christ. But over a period of many years, she had drifted away. She came back to that place where she surrendered and responded to Jesus again. Relationships change. There's a cost, and you need to count that cost. You should know that when you give your life to Christ, it's going to... Now, it would be wonderful if your wife, if your parents, if your grandparents, if the people around you, if your friends all follow Jesus as well. I mean, James went with John. Andrew went with Peter. That's great. Some around us will go, and we find strength in those relationships. But also, there are those who will be appalled. You guys know them, right? They look at Christianity, they look at the message of the cross, and to them it is foolishness. They say things to you like, I'm so glad you found Christianity. It's so good for you. In other words, leave me alone. Go live your little Christian life yourself. They turned around and they left their father because things had changed. And I want you to think about the radical change it was for James. This would be the last time that James would be living around and working with his dad on a daily basis. In just a few years, he would be gone, asked to sacrifice and make that ultimate gift to God of his life being taken from him. But in reality, did James really do anything different than what John did? Oh, John would live until he was a very old man, but John gave his life to the Lord. He stopped living his own life and lived his life to the Lord. James gave his life to the Lord and died younger than John, but they both did the same thing. God's call for us, whatever God has planned, wherever God wants us to go. Now, quickly, there was a second response that they had. They followed him. They left their nets, they left those, but they followed him. And this is all God's asking you to do. This is so simple, folks. It is difficult to get instructions on how to live. The years before TomTom, you remember the big map you used to drive down the road with? Talk about, do you think texting's dangerous? We used to have maps pulled out going down the road. Okay, here we are on vacation, me and my wife. We're in California. We're driving. We're looking for an exit in Long Beach. I've got the map in front of me. She's abandoned on reading the map because I've missed a couple of things and I don't trust her anymore. I'm trying to drive down the aggressive freeway. And then I go, all right, it looks like we've got a turn up coming up. And then my wife goes, I quit, I give up. And I go, well, you're not a good navigator. And then all of a sudden, there's all of this. I'm so thankful for TomTom. It has brought peace into my car. And the great thing is that sometimes you even miss the turn with TomTom, right? Even though it says, turning right in 500 yards, 300 yards, 210 yards, now. Oh, you meant there? But then TomTom goes, recalculating. Sometimes with a very sarcastic voice, recalculating. In other words, you idiot. How could you have missed that? And they make this thing on your car. It's amazing. It's called a steering wheel. You actually turn around and you get back on track. And you make your way back to where you were going to go. But before that, you'd stop to get directions. I remember in California stopping at a gas station. How do I get to Anaheim? Let me ask you a pretty simple question. How do I get to Disneyland? That's what I want to know. You would think everybody knows how to get to Disneyland. First of all, in the gas stations there, I'm talking 20 years ago, you couldn't find someone who speaks English. You go, how do I get to Disneyland? Okay. I didn't even know what they were saying at that time, you know. Now I know it's what, but second, if you find somebody that could give you directions, they would go, take the 5 to the 32 to the 65 and then go around to the 54 and then take it right into Anaheim. Now I realize I got those freeways different, but I'm not a California guy, right? And you would go, okay, can you write that down for me? Then if you got him to write it down, you drive down, okay, we got to go from the 5 to the, and do we go east or west here? I don't know, east or west here. You got to make a decision. I don't know, east or west, I don't know. You'd be paralyzed to make it. How much easier would it have been had somebody just said, follow me? Had some guy from a gas station said, you know what, I don't got anything to do the rest of today. I'm just going to lead you into Anaheim. I'll lead you right to Disneyland. So there I am. Follow his light. Stay on him, stay on him, stay on him, stay on him, stay on him. Oh, turn right, turn right, turn right, turn right, turn right. Oh, man, yellow light, yellow. Oh, he stopped. Okay. Follow him. How easy would that, how easy is it to follow someone? You say, well, I don't know how to be a Christian. I don't know how to live for God. Follow him. Do what you know you're supposed to do. He called them to follow him, which is not calling, they're going to become fishers of men, but before that, they're called into a relationship with him. Follow me. That's very simple. It's easy to do. Follow me. Listen, God's a good leader. You ever followed somebody who's a poor leader? They say, follow me over here. And the first thing they do is run a yellow light and they leave you behind. And you go, why didn't you stop at that yellow light? Then we would be together. But now, I got to, figure out where you are. Now I'm completely lost. Jesus isn't like that. Jesus doesn't run yellow lights and leave you behind. He slows down. He waits for you. If you do get separated, he'll pull over and wait for you to catch up, and then he'll get back in again, right? He's a good leader. If you say to him, Lord, I'll follow you, he'll lead you. Your responsibility is to follow. Your responsibility isn't to make him a good leader. If you say today, Lord, I want to follow you, he'll lead you. He'll do that. That's his job. That's the harder part of the two, and he's the one who's able to do it. Now, let me just get practical as I wrap this up. That is that, yes, they had to follow him and they followed him physically. But I really believe following Jesus is no more difficult if we will make that commitment and say, Lord, I want to follow you. I'm looking for your direction. I'm looking for what you want from me, that God will lead you and God will guide you. I believe if you are not interested in following him, if you're only interested in following him with lip service, you're not ready to give everything to him, I don't know that he'll give you that kind of guidance. But if you really are serious, I believe that God will guide you exactly where he wants you to be. And like James and Peter and John and Andrew, whatever specific God has in your life, like Esther, whatever specific God has in your life will come to pass. But you will also follow him in that relationship with him, interacting with him, which is what God has called us to. Now I'm late, so let's stand up and pray. Father, we want to thank you as we have opened up our Bibles here today in Mark and making our way through it. And we come to this spot where the disciples have a call from you. We realize in a very similar way we have all been called, that you have not stopped calling disciples, that you didn't finish with the 12 and that was it, that between them 2,000 years ago and us today, you are still calling. And I pray for those who are here today that have never made a commitment to you, that they would surrender. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But I do want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you've never responded to that call. I started off by saying that God reaches through eternity and he pokes us in the nose and he says, you. I believe that some of you today have had that kind of experience. I believe that God is calling you to follow him. It's time for you to stop living your own life for yourself. You know that. It's not me that convinces you of that, it's God. And he is saying to you, you, I want you to follow me. Now, if you need to recommit, then do that. If you need to say, Lord, I need to follow you, then quietly do that before the Lord. But if you're here for the very first time and you've never made a commitment to him and you would like to invite Christ into your life, you would like to say, I want to follow you, you want your sins forgiven by the work that he did upon the cross, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just lift your hand up. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high while every head is bowed, while every eye is closed. You lift your hand saying, Lord, I want my sins forgiven and I want to follow you. I'm not going to go on and on at this point. God bless you up in the balcony. That's awesome. But I do want to give you an opportunity. I'll scan the room one more time. God bless you, sir, underneath the balcony. Anyone else? God bless you, sir. And God bless you. And out in the pavilion, God bless you. It's awesome. It is a moment like when Jesus said to them, follow me. It was a life-changing, radical moment. Anyone else? All right, you can put your hands down, and I would like everyone, including those who raise their hand, to pray this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned, and I know my sins separate me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.